So my roommate works for WIFF. She's a producer for the news there. And so every morning while she's getting ready, she turns on Channel 4. So she's up to speed on what's going on before she gets into work. And so this means that the Today Show generally is the backdrop of our getting ready every morning. And if you watch the Today Show, you might have seen this week that they did a multi-day series on loneliness this week. And there's been more and more talk about this, about how loneliness is bad for our health and how we are really in the middle of kind of this loneliness epidemic. I'm not exactly sure how they can confidently measure this over the span of like 2,000 years, but what they're saying is that people are less connected and more lonely now than they think that humankind has ever been. So much so that in the United Kingdom this year, starting in January, they actually appointed a minister of loneliness to their, like, commission of health, because this is such a big thing. And they are looking into some of the different causes, but one of the things that has been cited as a cause is actually social media. And this may not be surprising to some of you, because it's this idea that while on social media we have lots and lots of friends, this doesn't actually foster real connection and relationship. And then what happens is that when you get on social media, especially, you know, when you're alone or by yourself, and you see photos of people you know, or even if you don't know, but they're doing things together and they look like they're in connection and relationship, it actually makes you feel more lonely and isolated when you see other people who seem to be connected. And I don't know that this is actually all that shocking to me. Because I've had a lot of conversations about this with friends, with church people, with colleagues, about, especially in seasons of transition, the way that we often feel lonely or isolated. But I couldn't help but think also that this idea of how we're becoming more lonely and disconnected, how it's really contrary to the nature of the church and what it means to be disciples. And so I want to keep that in mind as we turn to our scripture this morning, which is from John chapter 15. And I'll begin reading in verse 1, and this is the Message translation. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is a dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So Jesus comes out and he says to his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. And immediately this indicates connection and our connectedness to Jesus and one another. And I'm sure Jesus picks this because if you've seen vines on the way, because, you know, they can sprawl all over the places and climb up walls. And Jesus would have been in a community and an area where there were vineyards everywhere. And so this would have been an image people could really wrap their minds around. But I like to think that if Jesus were in South Carolina in 2018, he'd be more likely to say, I am the kudzu, or like the kudzu root, maybe. I'm not exactly sure how all that grows. And you are the branches. Now, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know a whole lot about kudzu until relatively recently, because growing up where I was from in New Orleans, we didn't have kudzu in our backyards or anything like that. And we had a lot of Spanish moss, but not a whole lot of kudzu. And so it wasn't until I bought a house last May, and then about midsummer, saw all of these green vines sprawling over my bushes in my backyard, and was very upset and wanted to know what these weeds were, that someone said, well, that's kudzu. I was like, oh, Oh. And so now it's to a point that when I'm driving around you in the middle of nowhere and you pass by things that look like this, that's like so overgrown with kudzu, I like now have like a panic attack because I'm anxious about like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. Like, how do you contain it? Because what I've learned pretty quickly is that, as you may already know, that kudzu is almost impossible to kill. That's how it ends up overgrowing in areas like this, and it spreads like crazy. Someone at the last service was like, well, I mean, it only grows like a foot a day. I mean, it just like, it moves like crazy. And so it really is almost impossible to kill. And so our best hope with kudzu is just containment. And even that takes a fair amount of work to keep it at bay. Which brings me back to why I say that Jesus is like kudzu, that the church is like kudzu. Because in this series, Irresistible, How the Church Conquered an Empire, we've been talking about how the church was this unstoppable force, that even though they killed Jesus and they killed a lot of Christians, that the Roman Empire and others tried really hard to contain and squelch this movement, the church, they ultimately couldn't do it, that it couldn't be killed or contained or stopped. But what I want to suggest today is that that's not just true in the big picture church body of Christ, but that's also true in how Jesus works in our lives. Because when we really let Jesus in, he spreads like kudzu in all the corners of our lives too. I mean, he basically tells us as much. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Now, especially if you are somebody who is already joined with Jesus, you might be familiar with how this kind of works like kudzu and how what Jesus says is true, that when you join with him, the harvest becomes abundant and it spreads everywhere. But for others of you, you might find this to be incredibly scary or intimidating. You're not even sure that this is what you want. That you want to have a little bit of Jesus, enough Jesus, you know, because it's what you're supposed to do, because you want to feel good about your salvation and going to heaven later, but you also want to keep him contained. You know, these are, maybe you come to church, but not like too often. And, you know, you go to March Mission Madness, you do Harvest Hope, but like a weekly small group is too much, because then Jesus might get out of hand. And if that's you, then I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I really do get it. Because I never imagined that I would be here. That the way that Jesus kudzu would take over my life would lead me to this point. I mean, I just did not see that coming. When I was younger, I would have told you that I was very not interested in that. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my parents. People ask them all the time, did you like know she was going to be a pastor? And my mom's always like, no. I mean, she's really clear about this, but, and I, you know, which is fine, but this is just not how I saw things going. But what was true is that I did grow up in church, and I grew up going to Sunday school, and then in seventh grade, I went through confirmation, because our church did it in seventh grade, and I went through confirmation because that's what you do, because I think my parents said it wasn't an option. And because most of my friends were going through confirmation, and I did absolutely love my mentors in confirmation. They were incredible, and that alone made it an experience that was really positive and meaningful for me. And then, you know, I went through confirmation. I started to get involved in youth, and really over the course of the next few months and years, Jesus started to take more and more root in my life. And at first, I didn't even really realize that it was happening. Because I just liked being at church. I had a lot of good friends who were at church who I wanted to hang out with, and they didn't all go to my school, so it was one of the only ways I could see them. And there were adult leaders there who made me feel valued. They poured into me, and they modeled what it looks like to live a life on the vine, a life joined to Jesus. And so without me even realizing it, this kudzu of Jesus started to spread through my life. And now I eventually did make a pretty clear and conscious decision to follow Jesus and that I wanted this, it was already long at work by the time I got to that place. Along the way, I was asked to sing in the praise band at my church, and I liked to sing, and I was excited about the opportunity. And so, of course, I said yes, and that automatically made me a leader, whether I was prepared or qualified for that or not. And they challenged all of us in the band that because we were people who were leading in front of everyone every week, leading them in worship, that we had to be serious about our own faith growth and growth as disciples. And so they challenged us to have regular, faithful prayer life, to be daily reading scripture. And so because I'm a people pleaser, because I'm a rule follower, and because I understood what they were saying, I started doing these things. In part just because I knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. But what I found is that over time, it began to transform me. It made me into a better leader. It did just like how the message translates. So this relationship started to develop that was, you know, intimate and somewhat organic. Because I wasn't working all that hard, but I was doing enough. And my connections began to go stronger and stronger, stronger with Jesus and stronger with the other people who were on the vine. Because kudzu spreads and it all wraps together and it's all woven together. So not only are you connected to Jesus, but you begin to become more and more tightly connected to others. And so I started saying yes to more and more serving. I started saying yes to going on mission trips. I mean, I, who didn't really like being outside in the summer heat, said yes to going to Tennessee to do home repair when I don't think I'd ever held a hammer. But it was like, all my friends were going. Like, sure, I'm going to go. I want to be with these people. I said yes to being in small group. And it was in part because I wanted to grow. It was in part because I knew that these were things I should be doing. But it was also just in part that I liked the people who were there, and that itself was enough incentive to say yes. But it meant that that kudzu inside of me just kept growing and sprawling and joining me to Jesus and others until I reached a point after a few years that I knew that this was the source of all my life, all my being, that any place in my life that the kudzu maybe hadn't made it were places that were the most lonely or dark, and that this kudzu was the source of all of my joy and peace and hope and life. And so by the time I went to college, if I knew anything, I knew I had to stay joined to this vine and connected to this vine, even though I was going hours and hours away from home. And so I knew I had to find a church. And so I got involved in the Wesley Foundation, which is the Methodist campus ministry, and that became my new home. And I joined a small group my freshman year, and some of those people are still some of my closest friends. And I started doing more and more of the things that we talk about all the time. I started being more and more active in my prayer life, reading more and more scripture, saying yes to serving in all kinds of ways and giving, and really starting to ask myself, how is the way I'm carrying myself, the way I'm interacting with other people, how am I reflecting the light and love of Jesus? What is my witness like to other people? I started doing more and more all those things that we ask everybody to promise when they join the church. And it meant Jesus just kept sprawling throughout my life, and that connection kept growing until finally I ended up here. Now, before you panic, this is my calling, and I am called to ministry and serving and being a pastor, but just because the kudzu of Jesus is spreading through your life doesn't automatically mean that you end up where I am. Because God doesn't want all of us to be preachers or pastors. We all know that there are plenty of those out there as is. And when I think about some of my good friends, friends from Wesley and other places along the way, I mean, they're engineers and nurses and optometrists and CPAs. They're people who are still reflecting the light and love of Jesus wherever they go. Because like kudzu, Jesus will take hold any place he can get. And so they're serving in all kinds of ways. And so I've given you this brief overview of kind of my life and faith journey, not because I had some great story or experience that caused me to be here. If anything, that's exactly the point. Is that I haven't done anything overly spectacular or amazing. I wasn't just born with these incredible gifts. I just liked going to church. I made some friends there, and I kept showing up, and I kept saying yes, sometimes only after saying no first. Then over time, I began to more intentionally decide to stay connected to the vine, connected to Jesus, and the kudzu just kept spreading. Now, if we're going to keep with my metaphor here, it is possible, like with kudzu in your yard, to keep it contained, to keep it at bay, but it takes a whole lot of work. A lot of pulling the vines and maybe chemicals and other things. And what happens to us in our faith is that if we work too hard to fight this kudzu, to keep Jesus contained, then we run the risk of falling off the vine entirely. And Jesus says this, that anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. Anyone who separates from me is dead. And so while I may not have wanted this kudzu invasion to take place in my life, that there have been times where I really wish Jesus just could have stayed out of it, that I don't want to pray for my enemies. I don't want to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus, I'd rather you just let this part alone. Even though there are a lot of ways that that is true, even more than I didn't want Jesus to spread everywhere, I didn't want to be off the vine. I didn't want to be dead. Because when we're talking about what this is really all about, living on the vine, it really is a matter of life and death. And don't get me wrong, I have had my share of grief and heartbreak and pain, both physical and emotional. Enough that at times it's made me question God, question why this could happen, how this could happen. But it's never been enough for me to think that being cut off the vine is the better option. When I think about my own life, when I think about the life of other disciples and people who are on this vine with me, compared to those who aren't disciples, who aren't a part of this vine, especially in times of crisis, the situations of disciples, of people on the vine and those who aren't, I mean, they don't even compare. And it doesn't mean that if you're a part of this vine that the pain hurts less or that your grief isn't as bad, but it does mean that there is hope in the journey. It does mean that the peace of the Holy Spirit that passes all understanding fills us and strengthens us. It does mean that we're connected in this web of kudzu of people who support us and love us, encourage us, and pray for us. And going back to how I started about how this is the loneliest it's ever been, we talked last week about how this is also the fastest people have ever been leaving the church. And while I don't want to say that this is exactly the cause, it's hard for me to think that these things aren't connected. That as people are leaving the church, as they're leaving the vine faster and faster, it's also as we're becoming more lonely and more disconnected. Because I'm going to be honest about my own life, some of the hardest seasons for me haven't necessarily been in the times of the worst things happening to me, but they've been in the seasons when I've been least connected to the vine, when I've been bearing the least fruit and had the least connections. And I know that's true for some of you too, because when I've talked to many of you after the loss of a loved one or in the midst, especially of a long tenured treatment for some kind of illness, so often I hear people, especially those who are joined with Jesus, who are connected on this vine, you'll say things like, it has been so difficult. There have been days where I didn't know how I was going to make it, days when I didn't want to get out of bed. But then there's always a but. But my small group has been incredible. The Advent family has been incredible. The phone calls, the text messages, people who've shown up at our doors, people who've brought food. We truly have felt covered in prayer. And while this has been so unbelievably difficult or painful, we've also felt so loved and cared for, so supported. There's this hope and this peace, and it's been so clear that God is with us. I know how that's true for me, too. Some of you maybe have heard me mention before that quite a few summers ago when I was in seminary, I was in a bad accident, and it was a bike versus car accident. I was on the bike. And so I got hit, and within a few hours, I was in surgery. And by the time I came out of surgery, there were all kinds of people who had gotten to the hospital. So many, in fact, that my friends had to tell people not to come because they were like, there are going to be too many people. She's going to be overwhelmed. Like, you know, stay. You can come later, you know, whatever. And while obviously this was scary and painful and there were so many things racing through my mind, at the flip side, it's a time in my life when God's presence was so incredibly real. From all the people who showed up, from all the calls and texts, from the prayers I heard and knew were happening. And even though I spent most of the rest of the summer in physical therapy, and there were some challenges along the way, when I look back on that, those aren't the things that I remember. And now I will acknowledge that in the big picture, I was lucky and I was young, and so I bounced back relatively quickly. But when I think about that, and whenever other people hear about this story, they always react really strongly, like, oh my gosh. But if I think about the hardest seasons of my life, I mean, that doesn't even make the list. Like, it's not even something I think about, because when I reflect on that, God's presence, the way I experienced that all around me was just so strong and so real that all of the pain and terribleness of that just really kind of fades to the background. This doesn't mean that Jesus is magic, that we're somehow just spared from all the pain in our lives, but he does say this: if you make yourself at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. You're just saying that you can be sure that God is with you. You can be sure that your cries have been heard. Because when you're connected to the vine, it is the source of life. Today is a really exciting day because we had a baptism at the last service, and the next service we're going to have quite a few baptisms, and we're going to confirm 37 students, and they are making this decision for themselves to be joined to the vine. Confirmation is when students claim for themselves the faith that was claimed for them by their parents at baptism. Some of them will be baptized, and they are saying that we want to be joined with Jesus. And so throughout this year that they've been in confirmation, we've tried to do all kinds of things to help plant those seeds, to help the kudzu to grow. And so they've been in class. They've had journals that they do outside of class where they have to reflect on scripture and pray. They've had to serve and worship multiple times. So you've, knowing it or not, seen them as ushers and greeters and in music and serving communion. They've served in mission. They've been to Triune. They did Rise Against Hunger. Many served at Egg Venture. They've all been a part of small groups this year as part of this journey, because we're trying everything we can to help that kudzu to grow in their lives, to help them join on to the vine, to make their home in Christ. Because what we know is that this really is a matter of life and death. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon." And all God's people said, amen.